This is Dr. Virginia Kane, Director of the Marion County Public Health Department. We are proud to sponsor Medically Speaking. The Marion County Public Health Department is dedicated to serving you and the needs of our community. So stay tuned right here for information and your comments and questions on Medically Speaking.
Good morning and welcome to Medically Speaking on AM 1310 The Light, sponsored by your Marion County Health Department. I am your host, Dr. Lauren Harden, owner of Body Mechanics Health and Wellness. This is a mobile chiropractic business and associate of Dr. Kenneth Ackles. Before we get started, we want to send our thoughts and prayers out to the Ackles family. And Dr. Ackles, we are wishing that you get well, sir. So feel better, and we're, again, in our prayers. I want to thank you guys for listening this morning. If you have any, or if you want to call and ask about Doc, feel free to call, and we'll get you some information if you want to go visit him. But we're wishing that you have a safe and healthy recovery, Doc. So good morning. Let's jump into it. So Medically Speaking, on AM 1310 The Light, we like to focus on a lot of different health and wellness topics. I like to switch it up for you guys because I feel like, you know, we talk about the same old and you get the same old lectures when it comes to your health and wellness. Today, we're going to kind of switch gears. February is National Teen Dating Safety Month. Okay, so it's a mouthful, and it seems like there's a national month for just about anything these days, but we're going to kind of stay in line because this is a different health and wellness topic. Teen dating, it scares me. I don't have kids, but it scares me because I am a part of a village and I do have cousins that are in high school, and I remember them being born, and I'm watching them now be entirely concerned about the opposite sex in high school. And so we are going to talk a little bit about that because that is health and wellness. And we have a very special guest. We have two very special guests. And I'm going to apologize just before I get started because the second guest was a surprise guest for me. But I love surprises, and she's going to do well. And so actually, I'm going to have these ladies introduce themselves. We have clinical sexologist Carol Franklin, and she brought her associate with her. Good morning, ladies. How you doing?
Good morning.
Doing great.
We are so glad to have you this morning and so excited to be talking about teen dating, safety in teen dating, maybe something that the average person or especially a person without children wouldn't think about, but a subject that most parents are very, very concerned with. And so it's important for us to come in and have these conversations. Good morning, ladies. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Miss Carol Franklin, let's go first.
Well, my name is Carol Franklin, and yes, I am a board clinical sexologist. I am the owner of Phoenix Family and Community Services and the owner of the Institute for Sexual Enlightenment.
Yes. So that's awesome. These are new. So how old is the Phoenix Family and Services? Are these new, both new businesses to Indianapolis?
Well, Phoenix has been open for, this is our third year mm-hmm. in Indianapolis. We're originally out of Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
The Institute just opened up in December when I passed my board in sexologist.
Hey, congratulations.
So, yes.
New doc to the city. That's right. A round of applause.
So, I was bringing the field to Indianapolis because I noticed there was a need out here with me taking clients with the Department of Child Services and juvenile probation system. So, I just seen that it would be a good idea to bring something for adults because right now we only have certifications to work with juveniles here.
Okay, awesome. And so the family services, what kind of services do you offer at Phoenix Family Services?
Right now we offer therapy, case management, homemaker. We are certified with the state to do substance abuse, outpatient treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Where we do groups, ILT, well, intensive outpatient treatment, drug screens, and what else? We're actually opening up another wing to do play therapy, so okay. We're creating a room. We have some fantastic therapists that's going through their certification as a play therapist, so I'm very excited about that.
Yes, that all sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then who did you bring with you?
This is my lovely marriage and family counselor,
yes.
Carla Davenport.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Carla?
My name is Carla Davenport. I'm a marriage and family therapist. I am an associate of Ms. Carol. Today I'm actually here to support her in whatever she would like me to discuss.
Yes. And so, of course, if you bring support and support does something that's related to the topic, support will get a microphone and some headphones at Medically Speaking on AM 1310. So thank you for being down to join the conversation. And if you want to join the conversation, if you have questions, comments, concerns at any time, please feel free to call us at 317-239-1310. So let's get into it. Oh, Lord, let me take a breath. We're talking about teen dating, because teens do date and they should be allowed to date, right? So how old are teenagers when they start to date? Like, is there a day age range, or do you kind of see it?
So we kind of see preteens mm-hmm. a lot, and we're going off the experience of working with the Department of Child Services.
So okay.
We have seen, and I have had clients come through the agency as young as 10.
Yes.
That are dating?
Actually, I had one that was actually 8 years old that was saying that they had a girlfriend and a boyfriend.
And was serious about it. Yes. Because you know you got those elementary school, that's my girlfriend, and then you come home and your mom and dad is like, you don't have no boyfriend or girlfriend. So these are 8-year-olds with actual, this is my girlfriend.
Yes.
Okay, so the age range is pretty, they're starting young, it sounds like they're starting younger and younger these days.
Yes, yes, they are. So I want to make sure that we're being very realistic, because we hear about it a lot as far as teen pregnancy mm-hmm. and things like that. So I personally know a 12-year-old that, you know, got pregnant. Mm-hmm. So, of course, it's
that's
happening,
true.
And a lot of us are not talking about it.
Yes, yep, that's true. Okay, so should teens be allowed to date, in your opinion, just based off of what you see? Like, is that something that a high schooler or a middle schooler needs to be exposed to that early on?
So I'm going to say I believe that teenagers should date.
Okay.
Because there is a lot of things that just naturally that we should be learning throughout our developmental stages. From a professional, is always great for teenagers to learn a lot of life skills mm-hmm. early, so they won't have situations that's going on now, like sex abuse.
Yes.
Just knowing appropriate relationships with another person.
Yes.
What is comfortable, what's not comfortable, learning about consent. So those type of things should be talked about and learned as a teenager. What better way for them to learn heartbreak and how to treat a woman, how to go on proper dates, how to look, you know, to present yourself as a teenager.
Yes. I think that's very, very important. That's it's something that we all kind of want to, as kids grow, we want to ignore that they're growing, and we want to ignore that they are tiny, they're tiny human beings, not tiny adults, because if you tell a teenager they're a tiny adult, they will take it and run with it. But they are tiny human beings, and their feelings match ours. They just don't necessarily know how to, you know, manifest those in life. And so you're absolutely right. We live in an era of, like, Me Too, the hashtag mm-hmm. Me Too movement. I feel like there was a certain amount of time where maybe every other day there was some celebrity being accused of, or some manager, or some, you know, somebody in authority being accused of sexual harassment by people that we now, you know, people respect celebrities or mm-hmm. look up to celebrities. And so it's very important that we're having these conversations with our kids, because with social media, the messages can get mixed. It's so much mixed messaging in social media. Would you agree?
Yes, I totally agree. Just like what we were discussing Wednesday and Unwind Wednesday.
Yes.
Is that we have to learn ourselves and appropriateness, especially as a teenager and dating, because when we get adults, it becomes inappropriate or just develop into other habits.
Yes.
So I think that's very important.
Okay. So you think that we said that you think you believe that teens should be able to date. Mm-hmm. Should they be able to date or be alone with somebody that they might like without supervision?
Yes.
Okay, tell me about that. Now that's...
And the reason why I say that is because we should be controlling the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have the appropriate environment for them, then they should be unsupervised. Just like with anything else in life, when you're being watched, you're not going to be your natural self.
Yes, that's true.
You have an adult who's probably your parent or a guardian. You're not going to learn those social cues of who you're with because you're too busy watching someone else's reaction.
Yes.
Versus having your own normal reaction. We can see that outside of dating. When we're being watched, just like if you started a new job, if you're being watched, you're kind of going to get nervous doing whatever you're doing.
Yes.
Versus working off your natural instinct.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as a parent, we should be creating those environments. So if they're going on a date, where you're going, what's going to happen? So if you're going to the movies, that's a control area.
Yes, that's true.
So we just need to be more involved in what our teenagers are doing versus, oh, I'll be back at 11.
Right. Yeah, that's not, I mean, so, I want to know. Yeah. I mean, and in general, not even just with a person of interest, somebody they might like, I need to know who your friends are and where y'all going. And so, but you still want to be able to trust that they can, without you, maneuver and make the right decisions, you know?
Exactly. They need to learn what reality is. They need to trust in their own instinct. Because just think about how many adults out here that still can't even read if they're going to be in a bad relationship or not.
Yes, that's...
you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so just think
true.
About how those things mm-hmm. grow into our adulthood of not being able to recognize if we're going to be in an abusive relationship, if we're going to be able to recognize if that's the right person versus being having society judge
mm-hmm.
what our feelings should be versus understanding our own feelings
yes.
and paying attention to them. So that should be something that should be within their development as a teenager. So
yes.
we have to give them that space to learn who they are as an individual. So when they become adults, it wouldn't be so difficult for them in relationships.
Yes, I definitely agree with those things. And so I have two questions. This, based off of what you just said, we could go one or two directions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we should have... How sexual are teenagers these days? Let's hit that question just because, you know, there are teen pregnancies.
Uh-huh.
There are, and it's not a problem that is going away. It's pretty a consistent trend, really. And,
yes, it is.
You know, the curiosities, even as adults, we have curiosities, but it just concerns me because I don't personally know about the sex education in high school. And so if these kids or these teenagers are having these curiosities, who's guiding them? And so what do they need? What have you seen?
Well, I think that we are still very Christian based with our thinking of sexuality with our teenagers. And then it also goes back to the law of consent to be 18. And just our own personal perspective of dating.
Mm-hmm.
Just like my brother, while I'm going live, he said, no dating. I'm like, no, they don't have to date. So that's why I'm having this discussion right now.
Yes.
Because sex education is very important. I'm working with my kids right now as far as teaching them about sex education because I'd rather them know about safe practices and be able to have those conversations. My son come in my room a lot, and yeah, it's uncomfortable, but I'm just shaking my head like, okay,
mm-hmm.
let's work through this process.
No, but that's awesome that he's comfortable. Like
so,
every parent should have, if you have a teenager, they should be comfortable with coming to you and talking with you about anything, good, bad, or indifferent.
I would rather have that conversation early than him walking in my room with a pregnant girl. Like,
mm-hmm.
so, Mom, we have something to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
yes.
A lot of times we go off perspective. We have to be reality. Once someone hit puberty, that's just what it is. They're getting horny.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. How are they going to, who's teaching them? Who's working with them with those emotions.
Yeah.
So it's going to come out any type of way that they can. We're adults. How do we express our sexuality? When we get those urges, they get the same urges. So we should be walking them through those safe, those appropriate styles of getting through those urges versus them just exploring it on the internet.
Yes.
Or thinking that I'm going to watch porn and this is porn is reality when it's really not.
Yes. See, there, this is conversation that needs to happen, but we are going to continue this after this break. You are listening to Medically Speaking on AM 13 in the Light. Thanks. Good morning and welcome back to Medically Speaking on AM 1310 The Light, sponsored by your Marion County Health Department. I'm your hostess, Dr. Lauren Hard, and owner of Body Mechanics Health and Wellness, and we're going to jump right back. We're going to jump right back in to this question. We're talking about teen dating, safety in teen dating. February is Teen Dating Safety Month. It's just a mouthful. I feel like they should, like, shorten that or give me just the breakdown of the first letter. You know how they just kind of, but that's what we're talking about. It's a very, very important topic, especially in our community and community health. And we do have a caller. Good morning. How you doing, May?
Hi. Yes. This question is for the sexologist.
Yes, ma'am.
what age would you consider young enough to start talking to your children about sex?
Thank you for your question.
Personally, I think, well, for all those that didn't hear the question, because we're going live.
Yes.
Is what is the age that's appropriate to discuss with your kids about sex? I don't really look at age. I kind of look at the development of my child. So one of the things that I did personally with my own kids, I just started paying attention to where they were at in puberty, because once, for instance, well, I think that as a girl, once they have their menstrual cycle, that's the time to have that conversation, because you, as we all know, when that menstrual cycle starts, that means they can get pregnant, right?
You can be pregnant, yes.
So that's the time for that, and just like with my son, when I started hearing that deeper voice come from around the corner, I was like, yep, this is the time to talk about sex. That puberty is kicking in.
Mm-hmm.
I seen little hair under your arms. Let's talk about it. So I think that as parents, we just need to be more observant of our kids and just really pay attention to where they're at. I wouldn't, everyone's do have their get into puberty at different ages, different times. Like, I was a late bloomer. So to me, I probably would have been looking at my mother if she would have started early, like, what are you talking about? I never felt that. What are you talking about? What urges are you talking about?
Mom.
Like, what are you talking about? You know, so I think we just need to just pay attention to those signs and be observant, watching your kids, making sure that they have that maturity level to have that conversation. If you know that your child is not in that mindset yet, I would not have that conversation. I think I would be more of teaching sexual behaviors, like good touch, bad touch,
yeah,
type of thing.
Yes.
Not too much of the sex education, if that makes sense.
Yes. And that, I mean, as you're speaking about that, I'm thinking of a situation like, what if it's family movie night and accidentally something that could be, you know, interpreted as sexual behavior comes up? Like, what do you do talking to a young kid if they see that? Like, do you take the opportunity to say something? Because I know personally, I feel like I can remember my parent just hurry up and change, or my parent, like, it's just everything you do not to expose that so that you don't have to have that conversation. But is that a good time to stop and say, well, this is what, you know, or do you just kind of wait for them to ask questions?
Well, we should try to control things that we can.
Mm-hmm.
For example, with my kids, I look at the reviews and the ratings before I do movie night.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's a lot of things. Definitely. That my kids would not be watching if I seen that what the content of the movie is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just pay attention to them. So when I know of something, I just watch their reaction to it or things like that. We try to be very observant with our teens, even with my clients. I try to be very observant on the topic of how they're looking and is it a or...
Yeah, that's true.
Asking more questions about it. And if those, I don't think that we should be hiding a lot of things from the kids because it's going to come out regardless.
Yes.
So I think it's better to have those moments happen with you so that way you can kind of see where your kids at then somewhere else. Because I do know a lot of parents, they'd be like, oh, they're not going to do this. We're not going to listen to the radio.
Right.
And I'm like, can't do that. Who better to experience those things with is you
right.
versus someone else.
Yes.
So I think that when those things do happen, see what your child reaction is and just process it from there because they might not think of it as sex. Like my 5-year-old mom, like, ugh, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to go into a whole sex education talk. Yes. Like, so this is what's going to happen.
Right.
So let's slow down here.
No, right.
I'm like, oh yeah, they got cooties, you know? So
yeah. The cooties are still real, kids. Cooties, they are still real.
I still do that one.
But yes, and then so. I'm thinking that like in that situation, if you go out of your way or if you automatically change or automatically turn it off, then you kind of send a signal to your child that it's something that's bad and that right. it's something that they shouldn't. Oh, and we were watching the other day and this came on and then mommy turned it off real quick. And that's something to talk about with their friends. And I, ooh, what is that? So then you build
curiosity
where mm-hmm. you could just address it, shut it down. This is
that's
what that
it.
Was. This is what, you know, I like that. It looks like we do have another caller. Good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning to everyone, and thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
Being raised two and now helping raise 5 grandchildren, you know, this is a different period of time now than when I am. I'm past a half a century, so I can remember the my father always said one thing. He said, life is about being able to walk to the beat of your own drum.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see nowadays is a little bit too much following. I hate that follower term on Facebook. I don't have a
yes,
Facebook account,
yeah.
but that mm-hmm. but that term follower. If you if I can offer a suggestion, and maybe you guys can mention it,
mm-hmm.
we need to talk about that follower and being a follower and a follower term, even on the social media. That follower. That's what I think I see now. That's the problem that I didn't see. That we didn't have when my children were young. So if we can probably get our children to not be so much into wanting to follow, whether it's to Facebook or whether it's in real life, can walk to their own beat and be willing to say, hey, I'm not doing that,
mm-hmm.
no matter what happens, because I remember doing it. I come up through the era when the disciples and the vice lords were recruiting. I'm from, you know, from Gary, Indiana.
Okay, hey,
so I'm telling you, I was an athlete at school. So they cornered me. Yeah, you got to join the nation. I said, I can't join the nation. You know, I'm an athlete. I can't join the nation. And you know, my father not allowing that. We just got to get them. I think if we can get this generation here to stop following,
right.
stop worrying about being followers and followers and having all these followers,
yes.
then I think they'll be so much better. And what do you guys think about that? Thank you.
Thank you for your call. I agree. Until he really just said that, that's wild. Like, I follow a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe not necessarily in action, but, you know, why? Why? Why did they name that followers? I'm going to have to talk about that personally on a different show. But when what he said was still pretty relevant and true, like you do, you want to enjoy. We don't encourage enough individuality when it comes to kids. Or if you see like your child being more and more like a certain group of people, you don't, you know, you kind of just let them do their thing. But is that something that we should be, you know, pushing a little bit more? Is maybe not so much of the flock friend lifestyle as, you know, what do you like to do? Are you doing this because you want to be around them, or are you doing this because they want to be around you, kind of thing? It has to go back and forth. It's mutually beneficial. What do you think about that?
So I'm going to answer that question, me being a therapist and me. Mm-hmm. So when we think about followers, it's more curiosity and us looking at something that we're interested in, or going against something, or any of those type of realms. So I think that when we give our children that individuality to be themselves, it all go back to your last question about them being unsupervised, letting them develop their own self and who they are. So if we're not giving them those opportunities and we're being too tight on one end or whatever, they're going to go with what's interesting to them.
Yes.
So if we're not having those conversations with them and they having those urges and want to do this, guess what? They're going to go follow somewhere where they can get those curiosities met. Just like us as an adult,
yes.
We're going to go.
Yes.
Where are they going to get those curiosities met? Because they're not going to do it at home. Just like if we, like what he was saying, as far as how we're parenting our kids, are we allowing them to have those explorations or those safe ways of expressing themselves? Oh, I'm only going to have my child do basketball when they're really into soccer.
Right.
You know, so.
Black hockey players are there out there? I'm telling you, y'all sleep on them.
So we, as parents, we kind of give them the mold that we think that they should be versus paying attention to them and seeing what their individual selves are. So we can enhance on their development, not the other way around.
Yes.
So, and that's how you create followers. You have to be able to give kids the space to be leaders. How are we giving them that if we're controlling them?
Yes. They're following
us. So they only know to follow, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We who can say that they've given their kids those opportunities to really express themselves? What do you want to eat for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just those simple questions allows them to think about themselves.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So I don't just do anything. I really do ask my kids, like, what do y'all have a taste for today?
Mm-hmm.
Versus this is what y'all gonna eat.
Yeah.
So we have to almost subliminally give them that space to have their own way of thinking, their own interest, and things like that. So I just ask small questions. When I go to the mall, I don't just buy my kids anything. My daughter's 5, and I still say, ooh, is this cute to you? So you're
yes.
giving her, you're giving your kids that opportunity for them to think about what they like, not
yes.
me just putting clothes on them. Even in the morning, my husband put clothes out for my daughter to pick of what she want to wear for the day. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. So we can eliminate a lot of following, especially in negative ways, when we teach our kids early on that they can think for themselves.
Yes.
They can have those feelings and express themselves. If my kids have a problem, best believe they come in my room and have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I can address it versus them trying to figure, you know, doing something else. So I think that's a very good topic that I can probably go on for a long
right.
time.
Right, and that's what I'm thinking, because I'm like, my next question is going to be not even on this sheet. It's what are the fears? Like, what do you think that parents fear about doing stuff like that? Because to me, I recently just had a conversation with one of my high school cousins, and just talking to her, I'm like, girl, you great. She's like, you know, there are things that I do. I'm not a perfect kid, but for one, I make sure the things that I do won't get me in trouble. I make sure the things that I do won't get me caught up. I thought that was very, very smart that she can't get in. Like, she wants to, it seems like she's taking her time in the experiences that she wants to have. Now, I got another cousin where I'm like, watch her. Watch her, watch her, watch her. Watch him. Watch him, you know, don't even, but it's individual. And what did this parent do that this parent didn't do, or vice versa? Or was there anything that, you know, could have influenced this change, in your opinion? What is the fear associated with letting teenagers make decisions for themselves?
I think parents have a fear of failure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us believe that our parenting skills are based on the performance of our children. And that should not be the case. If any older individuals are listening to this radio show, we have to think about we can do the best that we can ever do in life, and someone would turn out some other way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can't put too much pressure on ourselves to think that this is going to be the perfect, this is how my kids need to just go about life because they're going to be such the best adults ever. No, you have to give the children and teenagers the opportunity to go in their own path and learn from those mistakes and kind of develop themselves and know that as long as you did the best that you can, that's all that really matters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think parents just have that fear of failure and put the success of their children on their back.
Yes.
When it shouldn't be that way.
Really, it should be like bowling with the bumpers on.
Right.
Roll it, and then, I mean, you might get a strike depending on how that comes off that last hit. But let my parent be the bumper. I'm going to push you a little bit. I'm going to push you the other way. By the time you reach those pins, you're going to hit them the way that you hit them.
The way you want. So just think about yourself. It doesn't matter how much was on the news or what we think we're so enlightened to do and this, that, and other. We're going to do what feels good to us.
Yes. It looks like we do have a caller. good morning. Thank you for being patient. How you doing, Mayhem?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I like and love this intellectual conversation, but I understand this new, I'm not going to say new way, but this psychological way of raising our children. And when we look at the statistics and facts, does it really work? I say not. I understand we want to raise our children not how we were raised, but some of us are still here. When we say it takes a village to raise a child, does it? I say no. I say we must kill that term, it takes a village to raise a child, because their village is sick. So these terminologies need classroom sessions, how to raise a child. Most people that do that don't have children, not married, and can't stand kids. So, you know, when I look at the logic of it, it sounds good on paper, but does it really work? When you look at some statistics, single women to raise their children. Now you got children 5 and 6 years old running the house, beating up the mother, and the mother's really scared and don't know how to go get help or too embarrassed to say, hey, my child is running my house, because they never taught the child to how to be a child, but we want to make room for a child to make their own opinions. And we say a child's brain is not fully developed at 26, so how can you give him room if he don't know how? And, you know, some majority of a household are raised by women, and you got your, you know, feminine son or your masculine daughter. It's kind of backwards how we do this. I mean, it sounds good, but when you look at the facts, does it really work? And a lot of single women are burying their children. So, once again, does it really work? Or was it the real way how we were raised? Right, but you know, we educated and philosophy family. Thank you, and I take it up there.
Thank you for your call. So I guess kind of he's saying the opposite. He's saying that the new way seems like it should, by all means on paper, it looks great, but really maybe going back is that what you're thinking, that to the old ways?
I think that let me clarify my conversation, because I'm also reading someone else's live comment as far as control within a house.
Mm-hmm.
Everything should be controlled. So when I mean by options, I'm not going to say here's 100 options. No, it's going to be what y'all think, Chili's or Denny's.
Mm-hmm. What you feeling?
You kind of see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's a controlled situation. My kids would never be able to run anything. I'm very old school of how I do things.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, the only thing I change is how I'm communicating with my kids so they can be able to communicate with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that old school way has gotten so many teenage pregnancies and all those drugs addictions. Just like now, what is the prominent thing right now in Indiana? Methamphetamines,
mm-hmm.
Marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these there's a lot of kids that I see, by me being a licensed addiction counselor, they're going outside of the home trying to figure out their life.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look at, yes, you know, we do have to have things in control, but at what point do we say we're going to take control of how we have our kids express themselves versus these epidemics that we have right now? Because what's going on right now is that old school way of, no, you're going to do what I say, so I'm going to go outside the home.
And they clapping
and,
back.
And do something.
Right. That, yes.
Versus them being in the moment right now. No, you have these options, and you're going to pick between these.
Yes.
You know, so that type of understanding what's going on, being more open to what's going on with the kids' day. When they come home from school, how was school? Versus you ain't heard nothing from your kids all day because you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So,
and this is, I mean, and this happens. This is a daily, there are kids that do not feel like they can speak to their parents in any kind of way other than, you know, he kind of touched on the single parent home, not just single moms, a single parent home. It's like, if I'm too tired to, I hate to say deal with you, to interact and communicate with you, then who are you supposed to talk to, especially if it's just me and my children? Like,
I am very honest with what I'm going to say. And what I'm going to say is it's all about responsibility. And that's why we have to teach teenagers, because I want to make sure I stay on the topic of teenagers,
mm-hmm.
to know responsibility and know who they are as a person. So when you develop those things as a teenager, you would have knew not to have kids because you know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You would have protected yes. yourself because you would have knew what birth control is out there. If we would have gave our kids that knowledge right now, gave them that opportunity to know who they are right now. And that's how people get babies and this, that, and other. They're following, like he said,
mm-hmm.
or our other caller. They're following the trend. They want something to love. They want this. They want that. But the end of the day, we have to give them those opportunities to learn themselves. If I knew as a teenager that I couldn't deal with kids and this, that, and other, guess what? I would not have them.
Yes. Right.
So it's all about learning that responsibility, giving kids in their teenage lives responsibility.
Yes.
At the end of the day, we don't do that. We just say, go in your room somewhere. No, I do y'all work, this, that, and other. So it's responsibility. It's a cause and effect.
Yes. It looks like we got to take one more commercial break. We're coming back. Don't worry. This is going to be a quick one, I think. But we'll see. Medically Speaking on AM 1310, The Light. Welcome back to Medically Speaking on AM 1310, The Light. I'm your hostess, Dr. Lauren Harden, and I'm going to make this quick because we only got a few minutes. You know where to find me, Body Mechanics, Health, and Wellness. I'll be on here next week, and I'll say it again. I will say, I have an announcement. Before I forget, we do have a community service therapy after hours coming up this month, next Saturday, February 16th. Yes, I'm so excited. Because I'm action-oriented, and so I'm organizing mm-hmm. this event so that we can all come together and get some free health and wellness services. The event is going to be at First Baptist Church North. That's 880 West 28th Street. First Baptist North, Indianapolis, 880 West 28th Street. Therapy After Hours Community Service. You can come get your spine checked. You can come get a lot of other free health and wellness screenings. I think we're going to do some yoga and have some speakers as well. So come hang out, check out. Therapy After Hours. That's from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. next Saturday. We do have a caller. Y'all about to hear me talk really fast. I want to get you in. Good morning. How you doing, Ron?
Hey, I'm going to try to talk as fast as I can.
You are the best.
As you said, you got to go. I suggest you use the Bible to raise your children versus Dr. Spock and a lot of that other stuff. My mother, who is, God rest her soul, raised a 61-year-old man who has only been in jail once because of my stupidity. However, my mom loved me to death. She used the Bible as her guide to raise me and my sister. My mom said, don't ride your bicycle until I get home. The first two times, mm-hmm. I rode my bicycle. She didn't say anything. The third time, my mom cut my tires. I understood what she meant that. I understood after that. The first couple of times, I did something that my mom told me not to do. She reminded me, don't do that again. The next time my mom beat the heck out of me, now I know what she meant. Don't do that no more. Mm. My mom loved me to death. I believe she raised a great son.
Yes. You sorry that we lost you, but no, we definitely appreciate that call. And there are different ways to raise your kids. And, you know, if that's how you feel is best, then go for it. Any comments on that, Carol?
I won't give that to Carla. Any comment for that?
Well, I do believe that, you know, raising your children Bible-based is also a very good, you know, avenue to go as well. As long as you're giving your children the appropriate choices in life and allowing them to explore and learn to make decisions as an individual, I think whatever you use will be great.
Yes. So. Okay, we're going to have you two back on because you know what? Miss Carmen didn't talk enough. Carol, we still got stuff to talk about. But can we get your contact information for Phoenix Family Services? How can we find you?
So you can like us on Facebook. It is Phoenix Family and Community Services. And if you're interested in sexology, you can like my school Facebook page, which is the Institute for Sexual Enlightenment. Again, it's the Institute for Sexual Enlightenment and Phoenix Family and Community Services.
Yes. And so I will be posting that on the Medically Speaking page. I already posted our post for this week, which have your businesses tagged in them.
Okay.
And so you can just click those and go ahead and follow. Thank you so much for coming out. This has been a very, very interesting show, even more interesting than I anticipated. We never even talked about sexual harassment or, you know, abuse in teen relationships, which is an important topic because that absolutely happens.
Well, let's make that a part two.
We will do a part two, right?
And so this next time I will talk.
Absolutely. Look, next time I'm going to send you some questions personally. Yes. But I want to thank you two for coming out again. It's been a great show. Phoenix Family Services will be at the Community Service Therapy After Hours next week. So if you want to come out and get information from them, then you can come and meet us there. I want to thank you for listening to Medically Speaking on AM 1310 The Light, sponsored by your Marion County Health Department. I will see you next month. I believe my first show is going to be on spiritual health and wellness. You know, I'm switching it up. I'm versatile. You're not going to get me to talk about one thing. But have a good day, guys. Stay warm out there. And I will see you next month, Medically Speaking, on AM 1310 The Light.
The proceeding was a paid program.